risks that did not pay off as hoped. Apprenticeships. As the poverty program explored different ways to improve the lives of people living with low incomes, it took a close look at the role that apprenticeships play in helping people on a pathway out of poverty. Apprenticeships combine employment with on-the-job training and help employers to train and keep a skilled workforce. Apprenticeships offer many benefits for participants, such as earning while learning, gaining valuable credentials, and receiving mentorship. This approach often results in higher starting salaries and improved employee retention compared to traditional hiring methods. However, apprenticeships are not widespread in the United States and are mostly limited to a few industries. In 2016, less than 1% of the workforce were apprentices. For apprenticeships to effectively reduce poverty, they would need to expand into more industries and reach a broader segment of the population, including women, communities of color, youth, and people facing employment barriers. The foundation was intrigued by the potential for apprenticeship programs, especially because they offer individuals a chance to earn a living wage and attract both government and private sector investment. JPB staff researched this as a potential funding area and, to learn more, funded a number of organizations focused on helping non-traditional populations, particularly women of color, into trade apprenticeships and groups working toward expanding apprenticeships to other fields. Despite the inherent promise of the strategy, program staff soon realized that dramatically expanding apprenticeships would be difficult given JPB's grant-making style at the time. The work would require intense regional collaboration and building corporate partnerships that research suggested would produce, at best, 10,000 jobs at a time. While the figure was significant, JPB determined that the effort wouldn't produce the kind of systems-changing work the poverty program was focused on. Instead, the program shifted its focus to supporting organizations that deal with the most marginalized workforces, low-income immigrants, and women of color. They concluded that improving wages, benefits, and job standards for these workers would have a greater relative benefit for their communities and their overall economic well-being. Big Greens. The foundation launched its environment program with a commitment to focusing on addressing environmental issues that serve low-income communities, acknowledging that many of the big environmental groups and their funders had not made this a priority. At the same time, with a small staff and a large grants budget, it would be difficult, if not impossible, for JPB to identify and directly support hundreds of comparatively small, community-based organizations. Moreover, the foundation thought that it might be able to use its influence to help encourage large environmental groups, commonly known as the Big Greens, to shift their own strategies. The foundation funded research to help determine whether there might be Big Greens interested in doing more work in cities serving low-income communities and disinvested communities of color. It examined 16 national environmental organizations, which produced some challenging results. The research revealed that many of the major national organizations lacked the expertise needed to work effectively in cities and low-income communities, and there were historical tensions between community-based and national organizations, and that the leadership and boards of at least half of these organizations lacked sufficient racial and ethnic diversity, a problem that persists today. The research suggested that these organizations did have the potential to provide essential resources and technical expertise to local groups, but that local groups found partnerships to be most successful when they could play a leading role in the work with national organizations, among other factors. As a result of the research, JPB concluded that there were only a handful of national organizations that it would be willing to experiment with to have more resources and attention directed to the needs of low-income communities. They funded these groups to work in cities, to re-grant to community-based organizations, and to provide technical assistance. Nevertheless, while some of these organizations shared how JPB's funding had amplified or slowly changed the trajectory of their work, and while most have made stronger commitment to environmental and climate justice, JPB acknowledged that they were unable to significantly influence a few of the large environmental organizations that it had chosen to fund. In fact, one Big Green transparently shared that they would only do this work if it was funded by JPB, and that once funding stopped, it would not continue the work. Those organizations often found it difficult to report on their activities specific to JPB's grant, did not raise additional funding for the work, and could not be entirely clear that their boards endorsed the work. JPB determined that it preferred seeding efforts of smaller, community-based groups to expand and for some to become more national. Examples include early support or growth funding for organizations such as the Chisholm Legacy Project, the Climate and Community Institute, Elevate Energy, GRIST, Native Movement, the NDN Collective, Partnership for Southern Equity, Right to the City, the Solutions Project, and Taproot Earth.